in the above subheading entitled The Unique Individual Perspective of Scriptures and Life is the important quotation found in the 90th chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, which reads, "The one truth has many sides, and one sees one side only, another, and some see more than others, according as it is given to them. Behold this crystal. How the one light is manifest in 12 faces. Yeah, 4 times 12. And each face reflects one ray of light, and one regards one face, and another. But it is the one crystal, and the one light that shines in all." What it is stating is that, like an embryo that matures into a complexity of system parts that together all make up the whole, every truth, nay, every thought is formed in this same pattern. And each person whose mind is polarized to one of the above 12 spheres of mind, BYLAW, will see and perceive differently than the other people. Moreover, in view of the fact that the holographic pattern continues, and within each of the 12 there exists the replicated pattern of the 12, even within each of the 12 spheres there exists variations of perception and understanding. In addition to the fact that the laws of creation are responsible for maintaining the balance across the spectrum of the almost countless perceptions of the same truth that has 12 faces, we are endeavoring to understand the laws which enable some to see more than others, according as it is given to them. Why has it been given for some to see more than others? Without understanding why, very little progress can be made in your present life. The laws that bring about this segregation of the spheres of mind is what is actually being portrayed in the allegory of the Tower of Babel syndrome. The intelligent reader of the scriptures will ask, why would God force mankind into a state of confusion by virtue of their inability to understand each other's language? What the account also conveys is the fact that at any time the people achieve a state of oneness, which can also be portrayed as wholeness, it is written that nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Gen 11, 6 RSV. But this condition of oneness and wholeness at an omega level of development must be founded upon the harmony of the foundational concepts drawn from each of the 12 spheres in perfect harmony. Which means that, from a human perspective, this higher level of truth that is beyond the comprehension of organic man who only functions from a fragment within one of the 12 spheres can only be ascertained when organic man is able to triangulate what he sees and understands empathically through the eyes and perception of his own opposite polarity, and thus, we have another example of the duality of this world. Someone such as Pythagoras would utilize the paradox of the triangle to explain this important reality. If person A is perceiving the world from one of the bottom points of the triangle, which is representative of one of the left or right spheres of mind in the above diagram of the tree of life, which represents the pattern of man's own mind, and person A is organically limited by the laws to that one-sided perception, because his mind has not yet evolved to a higher level of understanding. If that person is able to emphatically perceive through the eyes of another person who the laws have made his paradoxical opposite, only then can he begin to raise up the third force, which has the innate capacity to enlighten by virtue of the fact that this third force exists on a higher plane. Someone such as Pythagoras or Gurdjieff, who understood the laws, would point out that what is depicted in the diagram of the triangle is in fact the balance of the laws as seen in the equality of the angles, but from an opposite paradoxical perspective. In the divine pattern, the splitting of the ovum and sperm as demonstrated in the above subheading The Cosmic Ovum and Sperm, what we observe is the divine pattern of creation holographically manifest throughout every fragment of the whole. The horizontal line of the bottom in the above triangle represents the paradoxical opposites that we see and observe in the world, where each sectarian position rejects the equally sectarian positions of their opposite. And each of the opposites see the same thing differently and often in paradoxical opposition, because each is perceiving from the vantage point of a different sphere of the mind as portrayed through the outer columns of the tree of life, which outer columns in their division represent the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality, aka tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because organic man is only capable of perceiving from one or the other of the lower points of the bottom horizontal line, he is being both tested and provided with the opportunity to overcome his own limitations and initiate growth and development within his own mind. In the same way that a sperm and ovum must not only divide but be of equal chromosomes in order to initiate the third force that has the potential to evolve into an embryo, fetus, and be born into man's higher reality of this world in order to overcome the laws that are portrayed in the Tower of Babel syndrome, one must be able to emphatically perceive and understand from the perspective of one's opposite, in order to initiate the process of transformation, which will develop the third force balance to perceive reality from a higher plane than the blindness of organic limitations. The person who has developed themselves is able to draw upon the foundational opposites within his own mind and perceive the higher reality that the organic mind is inherently blind to. It has been said that a genius is able to simultaneously hold two paradoxical thoughts in his head, and in using this definition, a truly enlightened man can simultaneously hold 12 maintaining the balance in a higher realty that merges the 12 into one. In order to even begin the process of mental expansion, the organic mind must be able to triangulate his own vision through the perception of his organic opposite, and begin to grasp that higher reality that he has not yet manifest through what is allegorically portrayed as the eating of the fruit of both polarities of the tree of duality, and being nourished by the balance of the tree of life that has the ability to evolve and expand the mind beyond organic limitations. If you can begin to grasp this process as it is manifest in the outer world, then you can begin to understand not only the reality of your own higher mind, but also the enigma of time itself, the universe, or the laws of this material world, recognizes wholeness. That wholeness could be across the spectrum of a great multitude of people across the few who would comprise a spiritually enlightened community, or across the mind of one person who would then be a potential anointed, Messiah/Christ. But it is only when you begin to understand the pattern as it exists among the multitude of mankind, that you can begin to understand the pattern at work within yourself, enabling you to walk in the way that brings the anointing, Messiah/Christ, of your own mind. In the same way that because each person of an organic mind can only perceive from a point of perception within the pattern of the tree of life perpetually eating the forbidden fruit of duality, as each person accepts their own fragment as truth, while rejecting the fragments of truth of his brothers and sisters, when one is able to begin to recognize the same pattern working within oneself, only then can one begin to eat the fruit of the tree of life, and the process of mind expansion is able to begin, giving new meaning to the terms, as above, so below, and what is true in the macrocosm is also true in the microcosm. And it is for this reason that it is presented in the Genesis account that each of us is created in the image and likeness of God. That is, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Gen 1:26-27 KJV, see the divine pattern. In the above subheading entitled Man as an Embryonic Soul Image, I made the statement that I explored to some degree in the article The 10 Reasons Why the Church Rejects the Pre-Existent Soul. And the statement is basically contrary to all the religions of this world that believe in either reincarnation or heaven and hell. Quoting the above, that for countless reasons these soul images which enter this world in the bodies of man and woman mostly failed to bring about this objective of achieving the next stage of birth that Jesus said was absolutely necessary to achieve permanence in life, is very much true that they have become ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. As soul images that failed to evolve through the next stage of birth, they can never reincarnate as many in the New Age believe, and neither can they go to glory as the Church promotes. When Jesus taught that you must achieve the next stage of birth to enter into the life in the kingdom, this next stage of birth must be accomplished while you are still in the physical body. While I have made reference to those who have experienced a near-death experience, NDE, without the above, I demonstrate the folly of the critics in the subheading "The Dead Know Nothing." But what is important to begin to understand is the fact that while the soul image of the person does not cease to exist with the physical death of the body, neither are the philosophical religious teachings any more valid. And yet this higher reality that transcends the error of man's present-day religions is presented to us in the Gospel of Thomas saying 84, see man as an embryonic soul image. And the relationship of the unmanifest soul images that are impressed into the body vessel at conception are somewhat presented in the above subheading The Enigma of Time and the Soul of Man. Pattern. Body is formed from one cell. Within the one is the blueprint pattern of the multitude. The law is that only those embryos which contain within themselves the perfect balance of male and female opposites are able to expand and evolve. What is true in the physical is also true in the mental and the spiritual. Triangle angles represent the laws. And thus, it is impossible for them to build the final temple that is. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. And so long as the attachments remain, very little progress can be accomplished. Adat lower areas of mind must be developed to build upon. The connections to others are the means that bring about the building. Thus, Peter warned that the organic laws of creation will not permit either of the princes of the left or right to have power over anyone whom they might wish to benefit or to hurt, unless first he had sat down at the same table with them, which means that it is impossible to embrace the culture, ways, thinking, and lifestyle of this world, or to in any manner violate the commandments set forth in the Gospels, and even call upon the name of the Lord through the prince of the right hand, that is, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Luke 6:46 and KJ. And this is why it was predicted by Paul that those who call themselves Christian as well as the church will worship the Antichrist as God. Wisdom. Sermon on the Mount. Sexual. Thinking. Lifestyle. Diet. Release from prison. Outer darkness. Wedding garment. In the book, The Gnostic Gospels Prof. Elaine Pagels correctly writes, "It is the winners who write history, their way." No wonder, then, that the viewpoint of the successful majority has dominated all traditional accounts of the origin of Christianity. It suggests that these religious debates, questions of the nature of God, or of Christ, simultaneously bear social and political implications that are crucial to the development of Christianity as an institutional religion. In simplest terms, ideas which bear implications contrary to that development come to be labeled as heresy. Ideas which implicitly support it become orthodox. And thus, in this statement, we have one of the foremost inherent problems that obstruct the path of those seeking to know thyself, that is, the soul of all of mankind was either a participant or an observer during every period in the development of human history. Therefore, the soul knows the factual truth, while the person there in this world has in most instances been lied to by the winners who write history, their way. The result is that when people cling to the political, religious, and philosophical error of man, it becomes impossible for the necessary expansion of mind to be brought about. In the example of the very foundational thinking which we imbue young children with in our modern educational institutions, nearly everything is built off of Darwin's theory of evolution. But what if Darwin was wrong? What if modern quantum physics, which is totally in conflict with Darwinism, is correct? What if all the mystics are correct? That we dwell in an illusion that is an illusion, and that what is presented in the great allegory of mind and matter is the correct foundational framework of thinking that our mind should be built upon. If this is true, then our whole structure of thinking inhibits the necessary process of mind expansion. And modern cultural man has totally alienated himself from his own true higher soul reality. What if the Ebionite Nazarene disciples who walked with the historical Jesus daily were correct in their position that Jesus was a man who fulfilled the laws within himself and became one with God? What if it is true that there existed a core group of disciples who had themselves advanced to the degree where they could enter the inner kingdom within themselves, escaping what Jesus called the outer darkness and what Plato portrayed as the cave of illusions, and these faithful disciples knew the truth, while both the carnal Jews and the Gentiles who called themselves Orthodox were very much limited by an elementary and even pagan mindset. And in their zeal as heresy hunters, once empowered by pagan Rome, these same pagans who call themselves Orthodox Christians destroyed the very esoteric knowledge that mankind needed to nourish the mind and bring about the necessary expansion and the next stage of birth. Then the Adam Clark commentary is correct for Hebrews 1:5, and the very pagan doctrines of the church have rendered the whole Christian system is vain and baseless. The expansion of the mind beyond the physical organic consciousness is greatly dependent upon the nourishment of thoughts that properly stimulate the mind, and impressions which act as food that empowers the expanding consciousness to overcome the dynamic and often paradoxical polarization of opposites, that is, the tree of duality, which has the effect of opening the mind to the higher soul reality, where all things are seen and known for what they truly are. Thus, because the very environment that is necessary to initiate true growth cannot exist in our present modern society, what we have is a true culture of death, with the massive abortion of the unborn being merely a symbol which defines us. That is true of the whole of our society today. In the past, the elite used religion to control the masses, while in our present time, the elite use our systems of education, where the child's mind is programmed by pseudo-intellectuals, and an all-encompassing electronic media, which rules the people through politically correct, culturized lifestyle. in conjunction with his exploitation through a constant array of the stimulation of man's lower animal nature. By keeping the people anchored to their lower animal nature through a constant barrage of sexual and carnal images in conjunction with a politically correct culture, which inhibits discernment and a balanced examination of all sides of the equations of life, along with forced mind programming that is built upon a gravely flawed foundation, the people today have been virtually robbed of even the ability to bring about the necessary expansion of mind that would enable them to escape the illusions of Plato's cave and the outer darkness of mind and being, and come to know their true self. In the past, there existed spiritual communities, which were set apart from the mainstream culture's communities, led by spiritually aware men and women. And the elders in these communities guided sincere seekers into a mindset and lifestyle that brought about the necessary expansion of mind that permitted various degrees of direct communication with the individual person's higher soul self. These spiritual elders taught about the stages of birth and the alchemy of the sexes that brought the necessary expansion of mind and consciousness about in the lives of the people. And when Jesus conveyed to Nicodemus that, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," and Nicodemus did not understand the threefold process of birth, Jesus then asked how he could be a teacher and not know these things. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" The husband and wife who is able to initiate and bring about the next stages of birth within their respective spouse is light years ahead of the people of an organic mind who are earthbound in their perception and thinking. Together, they have embodied and manifested the very original purpose and objectives of life and creation itself. In the same way that an embryo and fetus has very little in common with a sperm and ovum, and the development of the fetus slowly opens up a new reality that is totally foreign to the sperm and ovum, the husband and wife who immerse themselves within the environment of a divine marriage, becoming the fulfillment of the objective to make what is two, one flesh, the fruit of their endeavors can in no manner be compared to the very limited reality of their initial form as a sperm and ovum. In many ways, the reality of Jesus, which is portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, as well as the analogy or Plato's cave, can be understood as the levels of womb through which each person must evolve through the stages of birth. Jesus warned that his disciples and followers would be thrown out of religious institutions and even murdered in the name of organic man's God, S. That is, yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. John 16, 2-3 in KJ. And the fetus cannot know the Father until it evolves and emerges out of the womb. In the same way, the few who escape the illusions of Plato's cave are said to be rejected and condemned as madmen. And once the reality of the vast difference between the consciousness of a sperm or ovum is understood in comparison to a fully mature man or woman, you can begin to grasp why a spiritually mature person cannot relate his vast experiential knowledge, gnosis, to a person who is the equivalent of a cosmic sperm or ovum. Traditionally, those who have walked the path of soul evolution and have expanded their consciousness beyond that of organic man who is totally earthbound in his perception and thinking have been condemned as elitists and Gnostic heretics. It is as if the sperm or ovum says to the fetus, or in the case of an advanced soul, a mature person, "What makes you think you are better than me?" And while such a comparison will appear to be ludicrous, it has been an historical reality that those who are truly faithful to the commandments and laws of God have had to deal with throughout all ages and cultures, and it continues right into our present time. While science has already proven the allegory of mind and matter, the governments, religions, cultures, and educational systems of man inhibit individuals from seeking the truth and higher reality that is beyond organic man's comprehension, ensuring the alienation of each person from the very essence and being that they truly are. Rewrite in progress at this point in the above reply to the DVD on the God who wasn't there. It can be seen that the atheists and pseudo-intellectuals who governments have ordained as the priests of our secular culture have all ignored the most important teachings with respect to the allegorical nature of the scriptures, as well as why there is a commonality among all religious texts and the reason why all religions employ what can only be portrayed as universal symbols of mind and being that must be overcome and perfected. While the church has gone along with the pseudo-intellectual secular priests they remain in absolute denial because of their allegiance to the doctrines of Martin Luther, which has totally alienated them from the original objectives and teachings of Jesus and the way, see. And thus, where Christians should be the light of the world by virtue of their mentally matured and evolved condition as beings of light to the people of this world, they have permitted themselves to be robbed of their very spiritual substance. In the third saying of the recently discovered Gospel of Thomas, it is declared, "When you come to know yourselves, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty." What is the meaning of the words, "Then you will become known"? Regardless of the religion you are affiliated with, the fact that you do not understand the underlying reality that is portrayed in these words is an indication that you are spiritually flatlined and can make little to no progress beyond your present point. Most religions, including Christianity, which is the source of these words, will immediately dismiss what is being portrayed, and this they will do to their own spiritual demise. Thus, these words are as true today as when they were originally spoken. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4, 6 and KJ. If it is indeed true that Jesus warned his disciples and followers that only when you come to know yourselves, then you will become known, then it is also true that because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. And if we dismiss the source as being drawn from a writing that is not approved by the church, and being Gnostic, then to our own dilemma, we can see the same exact thought in an epistle of Paul where he warns, "But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Cal 4, 9 NKJ. HOWCANWENOTBENONBYGOD. Having demonstrated the relevance between the same exact reality presented in both the Gospel of Thomas and Paul's epistle to the Galatians, it is important to be cognizant of the very opening statement in Thomas. "These are the secret sayings which the living Jesus spoke, and which Didymos Judas Thomas wrote down. And he said, whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings will not experience death. Jesus said, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all." What most people who read these words fail to understand is the fact that what is presented in the opening statement of Thomas is not secret teachings of words that one must learn in order to enter into the life that Jesus revealed to mankind, but rather, the true meaning of not only the Gospel of Thomas, but of all Gospels and Scriptures, cannot be known, perceived, understood, and comprehended without personally experiencing the inner kingdom. LK 17:20-21. By walking in the way, see. To find the true meaning of the sayings of Thomas, the seeker must, through their own spiritual experiences, begin to draw near to the inner kingdom. And this can only be accomplished by living the necessary consecrated life in the way that brings about the next stage of birth that Jesus said was absolutely necessary to enter into life. These words are again repeated in Jesus' own warning to those who call themselves believers. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force out demons and do many miracles by the power and authority of your name?' Then I will tell them publicly, 'I've never known you. Get away from me, you evil people.'" Matt 7:21-23. Even if you are a believer who in the name of Jesus has performed miracles, cast out demons, and prophesied in the name of Christ, the Bible warns that Jesus has never known you, for many of the same reasons why you are not known by God. A long-ignored writing is the Epistle of Peter and James, and it is ignored largely because it makes a number of profound statements that all but the very few people who enter in at the narrow way will immediately dismiss once again, to their own demise. Speaking of the more spiritual scriptures that were never given into the hands of either the Jews or Gentiles, Peter states to James, "Hear me, brethren and fellow servants. If we should give the books to all indiscriminately, and they should be corrupted by any daring men, or be perverted by interpretations, as you have heard that some have already done, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. Wherefore it is better that they should be with us, and that we should communicate them with all the aforementioned care to those who wish to live piously and to save others. How can this possibly be? How can it be stated that if these more spiritual scriptures that were never given into the hands of the converts were lost or corrupted, that it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error? And the answer to the dilemma, which is all but ignored by not only the modern church, but the sincere seekers of all the world's religions, is found in the words of Paul that the people of this world are not even known by God. And why without the works and the knowledge that Jesus is making reference to? That it can be said that I've never known you. And while many will reject and attempt to ignore this profound warning, it all goes back to Paul's statement that if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Cor 8:2 NKJ. And since most Christians believe that they need not know anything more than the historical Jesus, then they prove the words true even in our own time. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Who am I that I can make the profound statement that regardless of your religious affiliation, that not only are you not known by God, but that it is in all likelihood that you will spiritually flatline and fail to enter into life? The answer is that my name in that life, almost 2,000 years ago, appears along with Peter's in the Epistle of Peter and James, C. And I was sent back into the world at this time, in order to help the lost sheep understand why it was stated that regardless of your affiliation, if you don't know, as you ought to know, that it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. What the pseudo-intellectual secular ordained priests have done is, after aborting the people by immersing them in a spiritually poisoned and mentally/intellectually toxic wasteland culture that inhibits their development, these same pseudo-intellectuals are then using the lack of mental and spiritual development of the spiritually aborted people as proof and evidence that God does not exist, and the fact that the church has itself lost its moral and spiritual compass only aids and promotes the priests of the God of this world that rules over the hearts and minds of the lost prodigal sons and daughters who dwell in a state of absolute mental and spiritual poverty, after sacrificing their children, that is, souls that were placed in their care to rear as godly children in the way souls. Why, by virtue of being immersed in the government-ordained public school environment, where they are taught the ways of spiritual infamy and moral abandonment, these counterfeit Christians then expect to be able to comprehend the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom of God and be rewarded for their spiritual treason and apostasy to the teachings of Jesus and the way, by automatically inheriting the keys to the kingdom after they have totally squandered away their opportunity of life on things of no spiritual value or substance, and that they are condemned in their own scriptures as apostates to the kingdom, is proven in the article ad. The warning of Paul in conjunction with the parallel verse in the Gospel of Thomas, as well as Jesus' denial of not even knowing those who have accomplished works and miracles in the name of Messiah/Christ, can be portrayed as an undeveloped ovum or sperm proclaiming that they know and are known by God separate and apart from the man or woman which they are a part of in the reproductive systems. In the same way that an ovum that is in the ovaries of a woman cannot know the woman, and the woman cannot know the ovum unless it evolves through the process of first becoming a fetus and emerging out of her womb, neither can man in his reality as a cosmic ovum or sperm be known by God without first achieving the next stage of birth that opens the inner gate to the kingdom. And because the process of birth is threefold, this is the reason why Jesus proclaimed that all who desire to enter into life must enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. That is, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matt 22:14 NKJ. Why? Because like the countless ovum that a woman is born with, few are willing to create the necessary godly mindset and lifestyle that manifests the spiritual environment where they are able to mature and bring about the next stage of birth that provides entrance into the kingdom. And instead of walking in the way and keeping the commandments of God, they instead live and promote the teachings, commandments, and traditions of men.